One night this week, I asked my soon-to-be 7-year-old daughter to pray for me as I prepared for this weekend sermon. And she said in her prayer, "Oh God, help my dad to preach well and help him not to mess up." Yeah. And that is my prayer this morning. Yes, may God answer Claire's cute, yeah, thoughtful prayer by working in my heart as I deliver the message to you and in your heart as you receive it. The scripture passage for today is found in Matthew chapter 14. Immediately after what? Yeah, immediately after Jesus fed the multitude, 5,000 plus, in a deserted place as they followed Jesus out of town into that place. So now, all are fed. Then he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat battered by the waves and was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat to start walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he came frightened and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Didn't you hear Peter say, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water"? I found it strange at first. I thought if I were Peter, I would say, "Lord, if it is you, hurry up, calm the storm, come to our boat and prove that what we see and hear is not a ghost." Peter didn't say that. Instead, he says, "Lord, if it is you, call me to come to you." What on earth was he thinking? Didn't he know that what he meant by that request was nothing more or less than risking his life? Some may say that Peter's request is a mark of impetuous foolishness. Some may accuse him of putting Jesus to the test instead of really keeping quiet, reverent, and safe in the boat. But I feel differently. Let's think more about Peter of that night. He and his companions apparently spent nearly the whole night struggling to get across the lake. Yes, the lake was not a massive body of water, never more than 8 miles across when traveling from east to west. Above all, we all know that it is the lake that raised Peter to be a professional fisherman. He used to come and fish in the lake day after day until he left behind the life of a fisherman to start following Jesus. However, that night, he was not able to traverse the lake. He and his friends in the boat probably tried every possible means to get out of the trouble. However, nothing worked. Their experiences, knowledges, and skills were useless. I suppose not just terrified was Peter, but he also felt he failed. Early in the morning, near daybreak, when Peter heard Jesus say, "It's I, don't be afraid," I imagine that Peter's mind was awakened to the name Jesus and to the day when he first met Jesus. It was when Peter was washing his nets after the night he had worked hard and caught nothing that Peter met Jesus for the first time. That day, Jesus told these fishermen to go again to the lake, push out into deep water, and let his nets out for a catch. When this professional fisherman Peter followed the direction of this strange man Jesus, Peter caught so many that his nets were splitting. According to the gospel writer Luke, when Simon Peter saw the huge catch, he fell at Jesus' knees and told Jesus that he is a sinner and couldn't handle that holiness. Then Peter asked Jesus to leave him, but Jesus told Peter to follow him and fish for people with Jesus. How could Peter forget the day when he decided to get out of his fishing boat, leave it behind, and start venturing first with Jesus on another parallel sea that is called discipleship? I imagine that thought struck Peter when he heard in the stormy sea Jesus standing on the water say, "Take heart, it is I, don't be afraid." At first, it seemed to me and to all of us that Peter did something that's hard to understand. But I have come to understand that in the stormy sea, what Peter desperately wanted was to meet Jesus, even if it would be in the middle of a turbulence. Yes, his desire was not trying to be Jesus, but to be with Jesus. All night long, in the boat, battered by the waves, Peter once again realized how much he needed Jesus. He was reminded of what he had learned about Jesus and from Jesus since he first met him. Where Jesus is, there are life, peace, joy, hope, freedom, justice, friendship, and community. The poor, the sick, the blind, the lonely, the oppressed, and the marginalized, everyone that's socially outcast, received, experienced, and enjoyed those blessings. So when Peter heard Jesus' voice, he asked Jesus to command him to come again to Jesus. Just as on the day when he first met Jesus, Jesus commanded Peter to leave his boat and join him. Peter now reminds himself of his calling and identity. Yes, he belongs to Jesus. Jesus is the one who hid out his heart and gave him the purpose of life. Peter realizes it is time to renew and reaffirm his commitment to following Jesus. Yes, through Peter's story, what we learn about what is life-giving and worth of our courage in the face of chaos and danger of the stormy sea is trying to venture first toward Jesus and eventually with Jesus. Not getting complacent about the patterns of the waves and winds that come to our lives. On March 23rd, 1775, one man stepped up in Virginia conventions. His name is Patrick Henry. He called his own people to see the choice that they had before them. I know you know the last line of his speech, but today I wanted to give you the last paragraph of his speech. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war is actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What will they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. The remarkable thrust of that speech stirred and challenged his people to see what was at stake. It was that before there could be freedom in Americas, there had to be a willingness to die for freedom in the hearts of Americans. In the same way, before our faith, passion, and commitment are renewed in our heart, there have to be a willingness to throw ourselves into a place where Jesus calls us and where we will encounter Jesus. Of course, it was Jesus who promised to be with Jesus to the end of the age. Yes, personally, that promise provides one of the foundations for my faith. But it is also true that only those who wanted to be with Jesus can appreciate the promise and live in it. At the beginning of this message, I shared my Claire's prayer. After she and I said that prayer, I asked her what preaching well would mean. This little theologian said, it means that first, you prepare a sermon with many prayers. Second, talk about God more than anything else. And probably shout loud, Hallelujah! Then she goes on. Especially this Sunday, that you gotta preach with a deep thanks for your ordination. To preach well, remember the moment of your ordination. Yes, I remember the moment when, as I kneeled, I was told to take authority, which means to me nothing more or less than a blessed responsibility. I remember the moments when I got choked up and the tears welled up in my ears, tears of thanks and tears of joys. I remember the moments that I felt the warmth of deep love of those who hugged me and who stood up for me at my ordination. And I also remember other many moments on my journey, along the way from discernment of God's calling to counseling and mentoring, from studying humanities in college with the thought that I would study theology later, to seminary and graduate school works, including endless readings, papers to write, and school exams and a thesis, from ministry internships and clinical pastoral educations to doctrinal questioning and annual interviews. There are moments I remember I felt I was sinking. The moments I felt that my soul was not at peace at all, but my soul was itself a stormy sea. However, I remember each of the times I experienced that God picked me up out of the water, backed me up, and brought me up to a place where I learned anew and again that I was on the journey that God called me to take and God guided me through. particularly when I transferred from Baltimore Washington Conference to Wisconsin Conference in 2013, I felt like Peter. I stepped out of the boat, throwing myself into a dark sea in an unknown world. But I remember that in those days, I did so, telling myself not to trust my ability or resume, but trust that my God is at work, and that with His hands, God would grab me and put me in a boat and sail onward if I fell in the water. When I came to this point in my meditation on this scripture passage, one scene in the Disney movie, Moana, came to my mind. My two children love that movie. They have seen the movie at home on DVD so far more than 5 times. Moana is a young girl who is the daughter of the chief of a Hawaiian island. From a young age, Moana listens to her grandma tell the story of the island goddess Tefiti and how the demigod shapeshifter Maui stole the green stone which was known as the goddess' heart. Without her heart, the island crumbled, and as a result, a lava monster rose from the waters and have taken hold of the resources. Fish are no longer plentiful, and their coconut trees are growing sea. Do you feel I give too much to detail the synopsis? Don't worry, I don't give any spoiler away. I just talk about first 5 minutes of the movie. The oceans gives Moana the stone of the heart of the deity. Moana now believes that it is her unique calling to restore peace to the island and nature. So she left her island to save her people. And here is one experience she had when she told the demigod Maui about her calling. Take a look.
Enjoy the island. Maui, out!
No! Stop! Hey! You have to put back the heart!
Did not see that coming.
I am Moana of Motunui. This is my canoe, and you will journey to different...
All right, get over it. We gotta move. And she's back.
I am Moana of Motunui.
It was Moana, right?
Yes, and you will restore the heart.
I'm out. Oh, come on!
Yes. This movie is another reminder that we, Christians, should take our calling seriously and pursue it, even if it is a difficult journey and comes at great risk and ridicule. Yes, we are all called by God to follow Jesus and to do what Jesus is doing here by the Holy Spirit through the church, His body, and through Christians, His people. We may hear from naysayers who are simply concerned with our ability to withstand the challenges that we will face along the way. But today, we are reminded that we should let our mission in Christ and God's calling over our lives define our identity, not our circumstance or our failures or our accomplishments. Yes, we stand. I am a Christian. I am a follower of Christ. There might be days we feel we are sinking into a stormy and turbulent sea. This is in the nature of our journey. But the thing is, though we may be in the tumult of the storm, I use this old term intentionally because we will say this term with our closing hymn. Yes, though we may be in the tumult of storm, we are not of the tumult. We are not defined or confined by the tumult. It's because God is always there to support us in our journey and pick us up and make us sail onward. So we have the reason to take courage to follow Jesus, both in a time of joy, in a time of challenge, both in a time of smooth voyage and in a time of rough coursing. That is life of discipleship. Along the journey, we will learn more and more who Jesus is and whose we are. And we will find ourselves get closer and closer to what He is leading us to. Good news is that our discipleship and God's grace go along. As I close this sermon, I wanted to read to you Psalm 107, verses 20 through 31. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the mighty waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, His wondrous works in the deep. For He commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their calamity. They reeled and staggered like drunkards and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they had acquired, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wonderful works to humankind. In verse 30, for the words their desired haven, my first Bible, which is written in Korean, has the words, the harbor of hope. So here is my prayer for you today, knowing that on our life journey, we are being led to the harbor of hope, knowing that when we waver, God doesn't delay Himself in picking us up. May we have the courage to ask Jesus to call us forth, call us again to the life of discipleship. May we all have the courage to always and everywhere want to be with Jesus, to be renewed in our commitment to following Jesus. Thanks be to God.